Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Thing Is I Love Most show. And the thing I love most is Tottenham Hotspur, is Yids, which is why we're here to cover all things Tottenham. We've got a YouTube show, we've got a podcast, and I'm joined by Don, Big Bad Don. Welcome, Don.
Thank you. Thanks for welcoming me.
So, firstly, I think we should maybe introduce ourselves, obviously, because the listeners and the viewers don't really know who we are, why we're even doing it, and how we met, because it's quite an interesting topic. So basically, we are part of a Facebook group called Spurs Fans DSI, which was created and moved on from the website that used to be don'tstayin.com, which
That's
you were
right.
a founder member of, weren't you?
Yep, was a founder member of that. We formed a group, which is obviously music is one of our loves, but Spurs are our most loved thing. And from there, it was transferred to the Facebook group. There's a few of us, and we've obviously got a few new members.
There's 167, I just checked
167
at the moment.
167 members.
Which has gone up quite a lot in the past year, but it's a fantastic group to be a part of. We're all quite, you know, we're really into, obviously, Spurs, we're into the club. Some of us more opinionated than others.
Yeah.
There are a lot of interesting discussions, which we're going to cover, obviously, throughout the show. So how did you first get involved with DSI? Was it like back in the day?
Yeah, back in the day, I mean, I used to just do a bit of DJing, I suppose, and sort of, I don't know, but it seems like there were rival fan groups. There were lots of people into music and going out and clubbing, but the Spurs fans seemed to congregate in one group.
And we're thinking that was like around the 2000, early 2000?
Around the 2000 okay. times. I can't be specific on dates, but yeah, it was around that time. Founder members include myself. Rodney was also a member of that group as well. I think John Jones was also a member of that group. So, yeah, really, really interesting.
So I started being on that scene, I think, 2004. Joined Don't Stay In. And then, obviously, Facebook came around 2007. And I don't even know who invited me to the group. I'm sure someone can tell me. But it's been in the past sort of 3 or 4 years, really, that it's become more of a thing. I think people are using Facebook more. It's easier to post things. It's easier to post discussions. And last year, I had a season ticket for the first time in a few years at Wembley. And we sort of created our own regular don'tstayin.com, Spurs Fans DSI, basically just meeting up. Basically. So we all used to go to this pub in West Hampstead and have a good time. So met loads of new people from it, which has been amazing. And so we just thought that, obviously, we always have great discussions on the group and in person, and so it's good to sort of just open those discussions to a wider audience, share our views, share our points, and hopefully, you know, gain some interest and obviously get the viewers and listeners involved in every way possible. And there's so many ways to do that with social media nowadays as well. And fantastic. And so, like, your history as a Spurs fan, when did you go to your first game? Why did you become a Spurs fan?
Well, I've been a Spurs fan all my life. My dad is from West Africa, he's from Nigeria, but when he first come to the UK, he plotted up in Tottenham. He then met my mum and moved to South London, but sort of kept Spurs in his heart. I became a Spurs fan. I think the first time I went was, I think, 89.
Okay, so you beat me by 3 years. Mine was 92.
Yeah,
so.
89 was my first game.
And didn't, do you remember your first game?
Didn't particularly enjoy it. I don't remember too much about it. I know that we were playing Wimbledon.
Okay, big game.
And I didn't enjoy it. My dad sort of took me because I wanted to go. And
right.
by the time I left, I was like, I'm not really sure I want to do this again. But luckily enough for me...
Do you not remember the result?
I think it was 2-0 to us. But I just didn't like the... I was a bit of a kid that didn't like shouting and stuff like that. I didn't like that around me at that point in my life, I should say. And then it was about 3 or 4 years before I went back to Tottenham.
Right.
And it all because I as most kids are, boys should I say, at that age, loved football. And my history teacher took a bunch of children from our class to Tottenham. To see the ground again and seeing it empty and being walked around and seeing the training facilities really inspired me to, like, you know, well, actually, got to give this another go now. I've got to give it another go. I've been there, but not seen it empty and seen, you know, the glorious ground that White Hart Lane
was. Never got a tour, actually. I never did a tour, which I regret to this day. So mine was in 92. We lost 1-0 against Man City. Niall Quinn scored, I think.
Horrible, man.
The reason I went to the game, the reason I became a Spurs fan was my uncle, my one uncle took me to that game. My other uncle was an Arsenal fan, actually, before he passed away. And he brought me a Daily Mirror on the day of the 87 Cup final. And said, it was like, you know, they have them supplements on the day. Mm-hmm. And I read the supplement, and I think I was 8 at the time. And then that was just it. I was like, right, Tottenham. At my school, it was completely split, Arsenal-Tottenham. So I'm from Crouch End originally, Hornsey, and then I went to school in Muswell Hill, and it was literally completely half-half. You know, we obviously chose the correct team. Amazing. Okay, so obviously we wanted to do the show, like I said, to sort of give people the opportunity to hear our discussions and to get involved. And so we're now just going to start our discussions with the pre-season to see how we're getting on. Also, just to give you a little background as to where we are. So we are filming from the Blue Coats pub, which is the old Pride of Tottenham. So you might know along the high road, if you're walking up towards Bruce Grove Station from the ground, it's on the left-hand side. It's got a little sort of courtyard beer garden at the front. It used to be the Pride of Tottenham, but it's been taken over by some new owners, and they've made it amazing. And it's our new home to do our podcast and show. And we're really pleased to be here. So a big thank you for having us, Blue Coats. And it's going to be a real regular haunt for us throughout the season. And I suggest you come down here and have a beer with us on match days, because it's a really, really lovely pub. They've got some fantastic burgers and food as well. So, yeah, come on down. Let's just talk about the results. Obviously, we had... we won the International Champions Cup.
A trophy.
That's our first trophy, you know, in the, like, what, how many years? That's sort of a good, you know.
It's been a while. I was trying to think of the last sort of friendly trophy we won. I think that was the Peace Cup when Ledley was still playing.
We're never normally in the Charity Shield, unfortunately.
I'm sure we were like somewhere in Asia when we won that. And I do believe Robbie Keane was still playing for the club at that time. But like you said, good results. Everyone sort of says you can't really take much out of pre-season. But I found it really enjoyable. Seeing players like Nkudu, who, you know, have gone out on loan and we weren't really sure about. Good to see that, you know, he's come back with the right attitude.
Do you think he's good enough, though? Because I don't.
I think we should... If a player comes back with the right attitude, considering whether or not he should stay. You know, he's not going to get that many opportunities when the World Cup guys are back. But I believe that there is possible cup opportunities.
I just remember when he came on against West Ham when we were losing in last year, and he just lost control of the ball and it ran out of play, and it was like a really great opportunity. And everyone almost laughed because it was just so ridiculous. And like, it was a great goal that he scored in the second game.
Against Milan, you're talking about, yeah?
Yeah. But it was one of those goals I think that, like, you know, 99 times it would have gone into Rosette. It was one of those left foot swingers that it was a great shot. I mean, the keeper actually sort of palmed it in, but I just don't have massive faith in him.
Okay.
But, I'd be interested to see. I mean, when he first signed, but it was the same last season. He had a good pre-season last season, and then he went. So it's like, it's hard sell. But for me, I think the bonuses were the academy players, who I just thought they performed so well. I thought I'd never heard of Skip before.
No, never heard of him either.
17 years old, like really tenacious, winning the ball back, like good energy, can spot a pass, good runner. He was the one that sort of impressed me more than anything. I know Luke Amos has been spoken about quite a bit because he's been offered maybe a new contract by Poch. It was in that respect, I think it's an amazing opportunity for them. And in a way, it helped that the senior players, the World Cup players, weren't available. I think it's getting their fitness levels up at the end of the day, isn't it? So it's like, you know, it serves its purpose. I don't think you can really... look at the games and you can assess them very much more than that. But I thought it was good for the young guys to play with the first team. And
sort of taking the academy players aside for just one second and looking at, we mentioned Nkudu, but what about Llorente and Lucas?
Lucas, fantastic for me. I think he deserved more opportunities last year. I think when he arrived, there were issues with his fitness, apparently, I hear. But I thought he was always a danger. I thought he should have come on against Juventus in the home second leg when we were trailing.
I agree with that.
I thought it was crying out for him, and I thought Poch didn't really do himself any favours in that respect in that game. But I think he's got an obvious talent. You know, he's one of the players that we have who is not afraid to run at people. And he's got the skill and pace to do that. I think Lamella is another one, although I think sometimes his final ball maybe let him down and he doesn't always necessarily have the control of the ball as much. And we don't really have that many other players that do that. So, you know, that's certainly someone who would, I think, be really, really good this season if he can just give him a bit of confidence. And he's got a header and he's, like, smaller than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's tiny.
Sort of just moving on swiftly, we mentioned Lucas. What about Llorente?
I mean, we're going to talk about signings a bit later on, but for me, he's not good enough, but he's all we've got in terms of a real replacement for Kane, so he can't be sold and he has to stay, but I'm not convinced by him at all. I think he's looked slow and I think he doesn't suit our style of play. We have quick passers, we have runners, we press. He's a bit laborious, I just don't have faith in him as a striker. Not at the level we want to be at, nowhere near.
You know, it's been suggested by some people, possibly not on a DSI group, I'm not putting anyone out to dry here, but this goes for me, at some point last season, I felt like we weren't playing to his strengths. I feel as I'm not saying he's really good, but I don't think we're as a team
I completely agree.
I think sometimes what's really annoyed me is, you know, we look at the Real Madrid game at the Bernabeu last season where he plays Kane and Llorente up front, two up top.
Yeah.
And we were crying for Pop to do that again at some point during the season. Yeah. Never saw it again.
True. I mean, he does seem... Poch does seem a little bit hesitant in doing so, and he will only really do it normally if we're chasing a game, and then it's almost a bit like we're just lumping up to Llorente and then hopefully, you know, we'll get some flick-ons or second balls, which is not really any form of tactics, basically, unless you're, you know, Wimbledon back in the day. But I think, you're right, and I think if you do play to his strengths, then you are basically playing with wing-backs or wingers, and you're going to the byline and you're whipping balls in and you're playing the old school English centre forward type, and that's what he is.
Yeah.
But we don't really play that way. You know, our wing backs don't get forward enough, as I would like anyway. They're basically a little bit too hesitant, so it's a bit more goes inside to Eriksen, tippy tappy, and then, you know, they try and flick forward to Kane. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I'm not convinced on him or Nkudu, to be honest, but... All right, so it's that time of the show where we basically speak to an opposing team fan, podcast person from this week. And obviously this week we have got Newcastle away, which is always seems to be one of our first games of the season.
It does.
So we've got
last.
We've got Lewis.
True.
We don't talk about the 5-1.
Okay. Right.
So we've got Lewis on the line here. How are we doing, Lewis?
I'm good, thank you. You gents? How are you?
Yeah, well, not too bad, thanks. A little bit warm. So whereabouts are you at the moment? You're up north somewhere being a Geordie?
I'm very north. So I just came up to Edinburgh, Kirkcaldy, from Newcastle this morning. So stopped off in Newcastle for a couple of days, up to Scotland for a few days, and then back down to Newcastle before heading back to London.
So Let's firstly talk about your Geordie accent that I don't seem to hear. I thought I was going to have like PJ and Duncan on the other end of the line, and I'm like I'm speaking to flipping Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV. So what, you know, come on, what's happening? What's your background?
So born in Newcastle, lived in Newcastle till I was 9. All my family still live in Newcastle, and yeah, I moved down to London when I was, like I said, when I was 9 years old. So I've been down there for quite a while. First couple of years had the accent still. No one understood a word I was saying, so that quickly went. Although every time I'd visit Newcastle, up until I was about 20, I'd get off the train and switch back straight back into Geordie. But yeah, it hasn't. No, I am a qualified Newcastle fan.
Qualified. Okay, cool.
See any glory to be hunting? So.
Well, you know, never know. So you're happy with Rafa?
Very, very. I mean, I don't know about. I know a lot of our fans are, but I personally. It's the most positive thing I'd say that we've done as a club since Alan Shearer signed.
That's a very big statement.
Yeah, there's not been much to get excited about. Okay, we've had a few good players here and there, but nothing's really filled me with enthusiasm like when Benitez has signed. Like I said, we've had some players, we've had some okay managers, but it's been, let's see how it goes. When we got Rafa in, it was like, wow. You know, we've got a top-class manager there.
You mentioned some dissatisfied fans being dissatisfied with Benitez. Who do you think they want instead of Benitez? Like, I mean...
No, I didn't say dissatisfied. I just said I can't speak for other fans.
Okay.
And I don't know whether or not they were as enthused as I was about his appointment.
Right.
Okay, and then in terms of the signings, we've heard today that you've got the you're swapping Dwight Gayle for Rondon, I believe.
Yeah, I mean I've just literally 10 minutes ago retweeted a couple of tweets because I on Twitter I've actually over the summer, which I've done for the last few summers, I block any hashtags with NUFC in, with Rafa, with anything to do with the club, unfollow the club accounts and the fan accounts simply because it does your head in. We're signing this player, we're not signing this player,
yeah,
we're selling
sure.
the player. Yeah. Lascelles has been going this summer and Rafa's going to walk every 2 minutes. And I think because not a lot goes on and not people don't really know what is going on, the timelines are just filled with anything. And people are making it up as they go along. And it just, as a fan, it gets frustrating. So every now and then I'll dip in and have a look at the official accounts and see what's happening. But yeah, I'll try to avoid it across the summer, to be honest.
It's a good way to be, actually.
We could learn from that. You know, I mean, it's not like we actually really listen to any of the stuff that is said on these kind of things because it gets quite infuriating at times, like you said. But I think, it's not long to go now anyway. So, you know, we're almost there. We're almost there.
Yeah. But with regards to, going back to your original question, with regards to Rondon, he did very well against us. He looks like he could potentially be a good signing. Especially for the style that Rafa plays, someone that can hold the ball up. He does that very well. Dwight Gayle, when he was a Palace player, I always wondered why they never played him more. Because he seemed to come off the bench, and when he did get a run of two or three games, he'd score. I've seen that now. Why? Because last season, he'd need five chances to get one.
Yeah.
And he's just not cut it at Premier League level. He was fantastic for us in the Championship, but... Yeah, unfortunately.
I think that's what a lot of people have said. A lot of people have said that about quite a lot of your team at the beginning of last season, that you were almost basically a Championship team trying to hold your own in the Premier League. And then obviously, you know, Rafa came on board and changed that. So it's good. So what are your thoughts on Tottenham? Do you have a special place in your heart for us? Are they your second team? Are we your whipping boys? What's you know?
No, so when I first moved to London, my stepdad was a Spurs fan.
I've always liked him.
So I've had a few Spurs kits. I had the 1991 Holston.
Cup-winning kit. Final. Yeah.
Yeah, I had that one. I then had that season, the yellow away kit, the blue third kit.
Wow.
I myself played at a decent level. I was always a goalkeeper. So Eric Torsvet, I was a fan of his. And the blue flecked. I had that as well. Been to loads of Spurs games. A few years back, my friends from Newcastle took me to White Hart Lane, because it actually fell on my birthday, and we just got in the ground. We were a few minutes late, heard a massive roar. I was like, yes, we've scored, because it seemed nobody would be walking the stadium, but that must be our fans because it's right above us. No, you've just taken the lead and you went on to beat us 5-0 that time. So not the best birthdays.
And what are your thoughts on our current team?
It's good. I had a conversation with a few of my mates the other day, just talking about the fact that you hadn't made any real signings yet. But where do you improve? Do you improve the squad? You know, do you bring a striker in? How do you do that? Because obviously, you know, it's always said that Kane's going to be number one. The person coming in would have, you know, they're going to be number two. Strikers are quite selfish. They want to, you know, they want to be in the spotlight. They want, and they need a run of games as well to score goals. So anyone that plays second fiddle to Kane is going to find it tough, because they're going to be expected to come in for one or two games, score a few goals, and that's difficult, you know, gaining their confidence and getting into a rhythm. But Son seems to do a good job for you. Your captain's a bit, you know, I don't know, he's got to have a big season. I think he owes you, because he's had a few, more so for France, he's made a couple of errors, but... It's difficult. I think they're a good, solid side. They should be there or thereabouts, but it's that consistency, I suppose.
Mm. And for your own team, what are your sort of hopes this season?
or dreams?
Top 10, I think, flattered us a little bit last year. I think going back to that point about being a championship side, we haven't strengthened massively. Kennedy, getting him back is a big plus. The goalkeeper, Dubravka, who we've got in on loan and then have signed permanently, he was massive for us last season. Kept a lot of clean sheets. And at the time, I didn't think the goalkeeper area was a massive priority. But just seeing the difference he's brought to the team, he is very, very good. Obviously, we've got to see how Rondon does. We've got the Asian signings in the midfield and up front as well. We'll see how we go. Yeah, top 10 would be great again, I'd say.
Cup run?
A cup run would be nice. I mean, for years we've been asking for a cup run, but you know, how much will that cost us if we do go on a cup run? Is our league form going to suffer? Although, you know, winning breeds winning. A cup run would be nice. Yeah, against Wembley would be good.
And so predictions for the big day on Saturday. It's not that long away now.
Yeah, it's always a tough one. Obviously, you mentioned the 5-1.
Hey, whoa. Just, you know.
Which obviously was the one that secured Sissoko signing to you. Thank you for that. I'd be happy with a draw. I think the game last season was...
Flat, wasn't it, first half?
Yeah, it didn't help that Kane should have been sent off in the first half, 20 minutes or so, when he took out Lejeune. And then literally took him out for a few months. And he's unfortunately done his cruciate, I think, in our pre-season. So he's out for the season now. So that kid doesn't get any luck. But yeah, I think a couple of things could have gone our way. You know, if Kane gets sent off, Shelby doesn't do what Shelby does, you know. And the game could have gone a different way. It's always difficult to predict a game between us. But I think, depending on whether or not you play your strongest side, because obviously there's rumours that a lot of the World Cup players will be rested. Hopefully that's the case. I think I'd be more confident. But a 1-1, I'd be happy with it.
Brilliant. Perfect. Okay, well, that's really, really good to speak to you, buddy. Thank you for coming on. And thank you for giving us your insight. And I'm not going to say best of luck on Saturday, but best of luck for the season after Saturday. And we hope, wish you all the best, and we'll maybe hear from you again on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Take care, mate.
Bye-bye.
So we've touched on this already, basically, the transfers or lack of. And so obviously talking about Llorente earlier on and how much he might be used this season, and Kudu as well. We've heard today from our reliable sources within the group that the Grealish deal from Aston Villa is almost a done deal. They're basically just waiting on a couple of things to be ironed out. So firstly, Grealish, thoughts, happy with him?
You know, I don't really watch Championship football. The last time I saw Jack Grealish play for was against us when we had Villa in the FA Cup. So he looked okay then. I didn't think he was like, you know, really stand-up player, but he looked okay. Mm-hmm. I think what we're buying, if we're buying, by the way, is potential. And it may take a while for him to really step up into the, into that role. We could end up with a Lee Hendry. I have no idea of what he could end up being.
Sure, yeah.
There is potential there, though. I understand that. And obviously, at present, we're one short on the homegrown count, so he fills that void. But I don't really know.
I think that is a good point. I think for me, he has potential, and we know that Poch is a good person to get the most out of these young players. He's moving to a team, potentially, if he does make the move, with already a nucleus, a core of young English players, and that can only benefit him, I think. And he has got potential. He's got skills, but obviously, from our perspective, we want to, you know, have players that are really going to improve the squad. Mm-hmm. You know, to really, we want to get the stars in that are going to take our team to the next level. And for me, he's not that. I don't have an issue with him signing him, but I think that the players that we need to be looking at are going to be the ones that are going to really, really put pressure on Eriksen, put pressure on Kane, put pressure on, you know, Ali to basically get into our first team and improve us as a squad. You know, for me, it's all well and good buying potential, and I think it will help us in the future, but it's a separate thing. For me, you know, we really need to be looking at stars. We're at that stage now. We're a Champions League team. You know, we have to be buying alongside the Champions League teams, and we're not. And obviously, I know, you know, everyone's got their opinion on our current squad and the situation, but I just think no signings at all, it just sends the wrong message to other clubs and also...
I kind of get what you're saying, but we are in a World Cup year.
True.
As well.
I know.
Yeah, every 4 years, football moves on, and I think it's been extremely difficult for all of Europe's top clubs to... It's either where they've just got rid of a big signing, like, you know, Real Madrid have got rid of Ronaldo. Well, not get rid of him, you know, he wanted to go, and, you know, Juventus wanted to pick up the bill. So that's them, but I think it's quite different for a lot of clubs in a World Cup.
It's definitely harder.
Year, in
it's
that
definitely
transfer
harder.
Window.
I agree, but I still think there's scope, and I still think there's opportunities that we haven't gone for, and for whatever reason, I don't know. I don't know why. You know. Just let's go back to the Llorente topic. You know, if Kane does get, you know, if Kane does his, God forbid, touchwood, does his cruciates on Saturday. You know, if he does play, then, you know, what's the option? Son is not a striker. Llorente is not really good enough.
But we have played with Son up front. And
we have.
And it's worked.
It's worked, but it's not his chosen position. He's better, a little bit deeper. And I just don't know. And also, Griffiths. What happened to Griffiths? Have you got any insight into that? Really surprised me.
I think...
Apparently, he had a lot of potential. I don't even know the reasoning behind that. So, just to let you know, Rio Griffiths, youth team player from last year, under 18s, I believe.
Yeah, scored a lot of goals.
Scored loads of goals last 33-34 last season, as signed for Lyon.
Well, again, obviously, wish him all the best. I can't understand why you'd want to do that when, you know, the grass looks so much greener here, brand new stadium.
There has to be something behind it, I think.
He was offered a contract, so but, you know, I think maybe he's looked at other players, you know, the likes of Marcus Edwards, who we all want to play for Tottenham, but nothing's really come off the back of it. And we don't know, but, you know, we hear rumours about attitude of some of these young players.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say, I've heard that.
I hear that sometimes,
you know, the actual, you know, from a mental side of the game, then sometimes not as prepared as they should be.
I've heard that about Edwards, but I never heard that about Griffiths, but who knows? Yeah. So in terms of transfers then, what would you sort of be happy with? What would Well, this is a question that was asked on the group the other day.
If
we didn't sign anyone?
If we didn't sign anyone and no one left, I would be slightly disappointed with that, but...
Do you think Toby's going to go?
Do we still have the youngest squad in the Premier League?
Possibly.
I think we've still got the youngest squad in the Premier League.
Possibly.
So, you know, these players, we've said it a few times, but these players are getting better every season. Without a doubt, Ali's getting better, Eriksen's getting better, Kane's getting better. It's more, you know, it's consistency. So,
but is the squad better? You know, the first team for me is not an issue, but I still think you have to look at, you know, we're very lucky in that I think we've got some, well, I say that.
If the squad stays the same, then I think we might be better off because, you know, we've got a Lucas who has had a pre-season, which should be used more in this current season coming up. I think where I'm extremely worried would be defence because I think we need another defender. Going into the season,
are you happy with Aurier?
I'm prepared to give him another season.
Well, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but for me, he's still not up to the standard that we need, personally.
Yeah.
And then Kyle Walker-Peters as well. Could be a big opportunity for him.
Yes. At least in that position, we have cover.
I liked what he did. I thought he was okay in the games in America, but I think when he's played in the league, he's looked good. He almost seems to suit the left-back a little bit more. I don't know why, for me. So in terms of the transfers, these are the few transfers that have been spoken about. So Modric potentially might be going to Inter Milan anyway, though. Would you welcome him back with open arms?
I'd have him back in a heartbeat.
Martial potentially a swap deal
well.
With Toby.
I'd have him. My only issue with a swap deal for a defender is not a like for like. So what happens if we don't get anyone to replace the we're talking about a world class defender here, and as such we should have planned. To replace, if he's going, then we should be thinking about that.
You would have thought that if he is going to go, then Levy has to have that because Cameron Carter-Vickers is not at that level at the moment. If he ever is going to get there, Dyer obviously is a very much utility player, so he can't be really classed as a cover centre back. Really, Foyth I think is still very much a work in progress. So he, you know, it's not enough. And if we do play with three centre backs, which I think works better for us in terms of utilising Trippier more, then we need another centre-back if Alderweireld does go.
Just on Foyth, what are your thoughts on him?
Because I've only ever seen him play in the League Cup games, and actually FA Cup games last season as well. I mean, he's confident, but he just seems like a boy. He just seems like, you know, a kid who's just playing youth football.
I know what you mean.
Down the road in Northumberland Park.
He definitely needs to work on his strength, I think. Mm.
I like him, though.
But he can play football.
He's not a league replacement
by
any stretch of the imagination. And Zaha, I think there's talk they pulled out of the deal anyway. So, you know.
I think it would have been a good addition to the squad.
So if you could only buy... If you could only buy, not players, positions now.
Mm-hmm.
If you just need to strengthen in one position, then which would it be? Who would you sign? Which kind of player?
I'd probably go with defence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over striker.
I think we've got options.
Who are these options? Lorente's an option.
Well, I'm going to say Son's an option for me. I think when Kane was injured last season, we played some of the most fluid football up top that I've seen from Tottenham for a while.
I agree, to a certain extent,
especially against the Chelsea game we were popping it around very much like Barcelona, but you know that I'm saying it, we were popping it around and to a certain degree I felt like we were better without Kane during those three or four games that he was injured. I thought we were better without him.
Okay. We will see. I think we're quite lucky in that, you know, we've got quite a bit of pacing around the team and there's quite a lot of movement, and so it can work, but I just think at the end of the day, you still need someone to get on the end of the crosses, and for me, he's not that. I think he's a great player, but he's not that. Cool. So I think we need to start. So basically, each week we're going to have a few different sections, and I wanted to start by doing the Player of the Week section by talking about one of my favourite players, who is Jürgen the German, Jürgen Klinsmann, who was absolutely fantastic for us. He was signed for Monaco for $2 million in 1994. I remember that picture with him with the yachts behind him. And he was, I think that was the second season that I had a season ticket, actually. And I went up to the to Hillsborough to watch his debut against Sheffield Wednesday, where he scored the famous header and then went and did the dive, which was amazing.
That must have been amazing.
And then 4 days later, 4 or 5 days later, we were playing Everton at home, and he scored the overhead kick to win 2-1. And
4 or 5 days later, he did that.
Yeah. That was his first. I think he scored 2 goals in that game as well. Yeah, incredible. And I'd never really, obviously, I'd seen him in the World Cup, but I'd never really sort of seen much of him play. But really impressed by him. Great pace, clinical finisher. Like he was top draw. And I remember also probably my favourite of his was when we went to Anfield in the FA Cup quarter final, and then he scored in the last minute, and everyone just went absolutely mental. But yeah, it was incredible.
It's very rare for a player to be signed and just slot straight in to really galvanise a team. Players just seemed a lot better with him in the team. That happened, and I can't remember it happening until Van der Vaart.
Mm-hmm.
The same kind of effect that someone had on the team. Just one player, not two, one. He made Sheringham look... Well, Sheringham was a fantastic player, but just made him look and feel better in those teams. And some of the sort of, players that were, I wouldn't say average, but that, they weren't, weren't superstars, looked better for his presence.
He was part of the famous five.
Yeah.
That was when Ozzie Ardiles just went attack, 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 which was great. I absolutely loved him. So where would you sort of place him in today's game? Do you think he would be a success? Do you think his type of game would work? And how much do you think in today's market 27-year-old Jürgen Klinsmann would reach?
Probably, sort of £40 to £50 million
really?
Mark, I think.
I think
at 27...
Much more than that.
With the... What, more than that, you reckon?
Yeah. I thought he was, top class. I'd be looking over 100 million, personally. I mean, this is a very ridiculously inflated market that we are now living in. You've got to remember.
The weirdest thing was, I'm not saying that he was undesirable, but I don't think he could go to every team. And a bit like Van der Vaart, I don't think... Yes, he comes at a premium, but not... he wouldn't be a £100 million player, in my mind.
Okay.
He wouldn't be.
Fair enough.
But he was, it's funny we should be talking about him today because I feel that there are similarities between him and Kane. Mm-hmm. In that, he can do...
I think he had more pace for me. I was always quite...
He could do everything.
I was quite surprised and impressed by his pace. Okay, that's interesting. So it's the fun time now in the show where we talk about predictions. So we're going to talk about predictions for the coming season, and we're going to talk about predictions for the game on Saturday. Now, I was going to put a poll on the Spurs Fans DSI group today, and I did for 10 minutes, and then someone commented that they wanted to wait to give their answer until the transfer window is closed, and I actually thought that was quite a good point, so then I deleted the poll. But I am interested to know your thoughts, obviously, and also to see whether... your thoughts and predictions do change from now till next week when we do our show. So firstly, long-term predictions, where do you think we will finish come next season?
I think it'd be extremely difficult for us to get into the top four this season. But I still think we can do it. Obviously, it all depends on who comes in or who leaves. Mm. But... I feel confident. I felt confident we'd be in the top four last season.
I need a number.
A number?
Yeah.
I'm going to go fourth.
Fourth, okay. That's fine. That's good. Should we go the full league then? Who do you think is going to win it?
I mean, I can't really see anyone at the moment stopping City.
Okay.
I just think they've got too much.
And then second? We're going to have this on camera, it's recorded, remember?
I know it's recorded. I'm going to say...
So you're going City first.
I'm going to go City, I'm going to go United.
Okay.
I think Chelsea are going to have a good season.
Hang on, you said we were going to finish fourth.
Yeah, but third.
City, United, yeah, Chelsea. So Chelsea
yeah,
third.
I think.
Above Liverpool. So Liverpool to miss out, even though they spent 177 million.
I think Salah was their main reason, and I think potentially that might dry up, or he'll get found out this season. You won't get as many goals out of him as we did this season.
I think I agree with that. I agree that he won't score the 41, 44, whatever it was. But I think for me they're going to have a great season. I think they really are. I think they've bought well. I think the keeper is a fantastic signing for them, and I think that will give them a lot more points. I think they lost a lot of points last season because of the keeper. So for me, they're going to be up there with City. I think they'll finish second. And then I have no idea who's going to finish after that. I will probably say... Man United third, us fourth.
And then Chelsea. That's what you want
to happen.
That's what we want.
We don't discuss the team down the road. That's not worth it. No. We're not do that. Okay. So, and that might well change because at the moment that's the way it is. If we sell Toby and we don't replace him, then I would say we were not going to finish in the top four. So for me, that's how important Toby is to our season. I agree.
Just quickly, before I forget, you mentioned Carter Vickers. You just don't think he's good enough?
No, he looks too slow. He looks like a wrestler.
Okay.
Not for me.
All right.
I mean, I hope he proves him wrong, but I just, you know... And also, with these players, they went out on loan and stuff. They didn't really get massive reviews. You know, you never heard about them, like, setting the leagues alight.
Yeah. I mean, but no. When do loan moves work?
I think
Danny Rose is probably the only one where I think... Carl Walker
at QPR did quite well.
True, I suppose, yeah.
But then Kane did terribly, and then look at him now, so you know. Mm. And then predictions for Saturday?
I'm going to go...
Is that dependent on if...
No,
as
I think
Lewis,
I just
as
think
Lewis
what, if,
said,
if we got what we've got, with what we've got, I'm gonna say 2-0 to us.
Do you think Luke Amos is going to start?
I'd love him to start.
Yeah?
Seriously.
Are you an Amos fan?
From the pre-season games, he looks as if... he looks wonderful. Yeah, he's fully sort of in that mindset of the pot press, you know, chasing balls down. I look forward to him. He wants to mould himself as a defensive midfielder.
Does he? He likes the holding midfielder.
Yeah,
okay.
He wants to be that.
Okay.
Almost like a Kante kind of player. So he's breaking stuff up, you know, and trying to get the ball moving again. You need at least one kind of thing to hold your hat on every season, and that's Amos for me. I'm really, him and Lucas are the two players that I can't wait to see.
I think we will win. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
What's your prediction?
I'm gonna go for 2-1. But I think that's how it's gonna be. So, fingers crossed. Once we have this chat next week, we're gonna be sitting here, smiley faces, and everything's gone well. Okay, well, thanks so much for listening and watching, guys. It's been great to have you involved in our first show. There are ways of getting in contact. So we have our Twitter, which is the thing I love most. And the actual Twitter handle is TTILM Show. That's TTILM Show. Just obviously get in contact. If you want to get in contact with us, if you want to get involved in any aspect of the show, and if you have any views, then please obviously just drop us a message. We also have a YouTube channel as well, which is the thing I love most. So you can subscribe and comment away, and we'd love to hear from you. So thanks for listening and watching, and we will speak to you next week.